Yes, Lord, because He is good and His mercy is still and you. Oh, yes, O God, because He is good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, amen. Shalendua. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Good morning. And I trust God is keeping you well. Good to see Africa is represented. and Asia is represented. This is amazing. God is good, huh? Yeah. Amen. We thank God. All is well?
Yes, sir, all is well.
Okay, excellent. So we shall carry on, and it's amazing. Once you usually start teaching on something, then you realize there is so much, because anytime you try to talk about God is that you realize that God cannot be exhausted. For lack of a better word, he's inexhaustible. He's like, I don't know, there's that description of the bottomless, huh? The bottomless things of God. And, you know, we've been learning about the fatherhood of God and, you know, linking yesterday to what we learned about that we have been, you know, he that is born of God cannot continue to live in sin. You know, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, because God's seed, His seed, that divine seed, the seed of God, remains in him. And that seed of God is the one that establishes the person in righteousness. And they are able to stay, you know, on the course. They are able to walk in righteousness because they receive the nature of God. And, you know, we're talking about that divine seed. The seed of God is what builds us. And that seed of God is the word of God. Luke 8:11. That the seed is the word of God. And each time we partake of the word of God, then the word of God works out that nature of God in us. Remember, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So each time you come to open the word of God or to listen to the word of God, you're encountering God. Many of us, we try to, we usually have this idea, or maybe we expect that, oh, we must see visions, oh, we must have dreams, we must have these experiences, these trances. And you don't realize that each time you come to just read the word of God, you have been opened into a portal. You have been opened, you have come to see God. These words that we read are God, and the word was God, and the word still remains to be God. And the highest form of vision, the clearest form of vision that you will ever have, is the vision of seeing God in his word and having that experience. And that is why we must always love the word of God. Not only if we, even if we can't read it for ourselves, develop a hunger to listen to the word of God. Develop a hunger to find teachers who are before you, teachers who have labored in the word, teachers who are focused and who are growing in the word of God. Because anytime you hear the word of God, you're meeting God, you're being made clean. Jesus told his disciples that you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And the word of God makes us clean. The word of God makes us righteous. The word of God places us and brings us to that place of honor, that place of authority, and that place of sonship. So today I want us to look at another character of God and as a father. And this, I want us to look about the unchanging nature of God. And a simpler description is just the faithfulness character of God, or the faithfulness of God. And just to know that our God is steady, our God does not change, our God, his character is consistent, he can be trusted, and he is that God that we can depend upon. And we'll look at a couple of verses that speak of the faithfulness. Just, I mean, there's so much about the faithfulness of God, but we'll just look at some few verses that show us how this God of ours is unchanging, how this God of ours is faithful, and that he can be trusted. Amen. So we'll first of all look at James chapter 1, and we'll look at from verse 17 and 18. James chapter 1. And if we jump there, we will be able to start looking at a character of the unchanging nature of God. And the Bible says, if you're able to get there, James chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Maybe I can read it in Amplified. It says, every good and perfect, in that perfect they put a bracket, free, large, full, close the bracket, gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all light, Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, in bracket, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. Verse 18, and it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. Now, you see, as we explore the fatherhood of God, and as I was saying, there's so many things that we get to understand from scripture. And you can see, like, even as we look at this, the verse, we are being told that, one, he is a father that gives good gifts, good and perfect gifts. So anyone on the earth that you see exhibiting a good character, let's say Messi or Ronaldo, I think that's someone everyone knows. Do you know that as they play, as they express themselves in sport, they actually represent a character. They actually represent a side of God. They actually represent a gift of God that God has given them. Because as we look at what they do, as we are impressed with the skill, do you know there is someone who just gave that to them out of his own free will? He just loved them and he just said, well, why don't I give someone this good left leg? And ever since he was a child, you can see the videos, you can see the control, you can see that, and you can know, yes, there are things that are taught in school, there are things that are taught in academies, but there are things that are just God-given. The teachers come to just accentuate that. They come to just make that better. Even the musicians, and one of the things that you will see is that many musicians, even the ones that are celebrated out in the world, majority of them can tell you that they started in church. The gift was given to them by God. It started with God, and it came from the Father of lights, or the Father who gives all lights. And this light, you can see, is small. Remember, we are seeing that God is a Father. Our God is light. He dwells in unapproachable light. He represents himself. He presents himself to us as light. And by him presenting himself to us as lights, he also makes us lights. That's why it says we're the Father of lights. And if you can think of what the scripture says, that They shall shine as bright as stars in the universe. They that, you know, that win souls, they that are wise that and win souls, they shall shine forth. So there's an aspect of us that appears either to God, or God has placed us, or God sees us at certain points in form of light. You can think of how he tells Abraham that, get out and look at the sky. If you can count the stars, those as many as are your descendants. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, it was credited to him as righteousness. That means he was placed in right standing with God, the place where God put him to stand. You know, righteousness is where God puts you to stand, says is right standing. So righteousness, at times we think of it as holiness, but it is a place where God places you to stand. And where is that place? In Christ. Righteousness is in Christ. When we become the righteousness of God, it is in Christ Jesus. We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it is in Christ is a place where we as Christians stand and we become righteous. So as we carry on, it says, on the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, or there is no variation, there is no rising and setting. That means it's not like our God, you know, like if you're having a light, right, that flickers. I don't know if you have if you've seen a lamp that is just, or even a candlelight. I mean, as the wind comes, the brightness and the, you know, the room just you know, it becomes dark, it becomes light. Or if you've ever had a pressure lamp growing up, and where you have to pump, you know, and as the pump, as the air pressure goes down, what happens is that the light starts to dim. Now what is God is telling us is that he is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variable of turning. That means there are things that God has given us, even if we walk away from him, even if we choose to disobey him, there are certain things that he will never take away. Musicians who decide to switch to the other side and, you know, sign in blood and what, they don't lose their gift. And God is not petty like we think pettiness, that, oh, I gave you this, you refused, I'm going to take it away. No. God, like, God chose Saul. He anointed him. He made him king. But he still left him to be king, in that God is someone who can hire you, he can sack you and still make you keep your job. And that's why at times you find that even like prophets and those even who are fake and all that, they still maintain the gift, in that they can come, they can speak accurate things, but at the end Jesus says that, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity, in that and they will say, oh, we prophesied in your name, we healed the sick in your name, we raised the dead in your name, but he will say, depart, I never knew you. So God must give us the discernment to distinguish between gift and character, to distinguish between gift and fruit. That's why when we're told, think of the men of God that you have, think of the outcome of their lives, think of the fruit, watch them. Watch them over time. Have they maintained that character, that truth, that seed that shows that they are of God? Because gift is given and gift is not taken away. So there are things, there are people, yes, who are wrong, who are in error, who have done all these things, but the gift does not be taken away. I mean, think of Balaam. Balaam was prophesying, hearing the voice of God, hearing the oracles of God, but at the same time he was also practicing divination, and he was eager for profit through divination, so he could, you know, he could transmit from two sources, from lack of a better word. And that's something that is quite common in our time. We have many ministers who are of the type of Balaam, and that is why it is very important to be close, or to have a closer relationship with the people that feed your word and feed you, so that you can be able to actually tell and know their lives, know their character, know the out, see the outcome of their lives, see how they are in their home, see how they treat their children, how they treat their family. And you see, those are the things that God speaks of, that, you know, if you're appointing someone to leadership, don't appoint, a novice, someone who is young, because they might fall, temptation to under the temptation of the devil. And it tells us that, just going back to our verse, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means that God does not cast a shadow on us like an eclipse, like the way, we're looking at it in Amplified. It says, at no point will you see like the moon just coming to block his light. No. In him there is no shadow of turning. And verse 18 tells us, of his own will, of his own free will, it was God's desire that he begat us, that he gave birth to us. He made us his sons with the word of truth, by the word of truth. It is the word of truth. Who is the word of truth? Christ, by Jesus. Each time we partake of his word, each time we believe on his word, we become the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Think of that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We become a creation of God. We become a type of being that is uniquely made divine and human, made in a way to represent God, made in a way to have the license, the liberty of God, to have the power of God, the exousia to become sons of God. That is what God has made us in the new creation. And we are made into one man. We have these two natures in us. We have, our outer man and our inner man. Our inner man is made perfect in righteousness, in the image and likeness of God, is united to God. And we have our outer man whom we must subject to that righteousness of God, whom we must put to death, that we must no longer live, but Christ lives in us. If we look at another verse, Malachi chapter 3, and it simply tells us, Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord God, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Verse 7, it tells us that even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But he said, where shall we return? And he goes on to speak about, can a man rob God and all that? But what he was telling them, I am the Lord God, and I do not change. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. Can you imagine the Israelites? Like, think of God making a covenant with Abraham. And he says, I am your great reward. I will bless you. All nations on the earth shall be blessed. And I have chosen you. And to date, Abraham's name is still known as the father of many nations. He started as Abram, meaning exalted father, but God turned him to Abram and said, you shall be the father of many nations. And he says, I have made you. Because to God, there is no, Hebrew has no future tense. It's not, and that's how God speaks. He does not speak like, I will make you. I have made you a father of many nations. And he's speaking to a man who does not have children. He's speaking to a man who is old, whose wife is beyond years. And he says, I have made you a father of many nations. So every blessing that God has spoken to us, God has already done it. When he says, you have been blessed with every blessing in Christ, in heavenly places, God has already blessed you. To God, there are things that he has already done. When he says he has saved you, that's why when we speak of salvation as a current, ongoing, and future activity, to God, it is already done. When he says, in Christ, I chose you to become conformed, to be conformed into my image. That is why each time we interact with God, we must realize to God there are things that are already done. The fact that you have come to Christ, that means to God there is a place in Him that you are already His. You're already chosen. You're already loved. You're already chosen before time. You're already called to be His own. And all you're doing is you're walking into that destiny that God called you to be. And God already loves us. He already has chosen us. He has chosen you and me to be conformed to the image of His Son. So our final destination is the image of the Son. And to God, it's already done. To God, this whole universe is already wrapped up. Because the Bible says, at the end of it all, He shall wrap it up. He shall roll like a garment. You can imagine, He will just roll the whole earth. He will just roll everything like a garment in Christ. And we now move into that world after, where everything is united in Christ, where we become that one body. We become in Christ, we become in God, and we are in God. And that's why when we say we are that new man, that Christ is our head and we are His body, there is a new man that we might never understand for now, but if God opens your eyes to see the end of things, to see in the end how everything shall be united in Christ, where there shall be no sun, no moon, Christ shall be our light. We shall be in that Jerusalem. We shall be in Christ. We shall be one body in completeness and in totality with Him. Then that is the end, where we shall rule with Him forever and ever, and shall reign forever and ever. And we shall be in charge of nations. We shall be in charge of cities. And we shall be given to rule over nations. We shall judge angels and all that. And a new work of God shall begin in the life after. And this whole earth that we see is rolled like a garment. You can imagine, just like a handkerchief being rolled and packed, and everything is closed and completed in Christ. That is where we are going. And the Bible tells us that God is faithful. I, the Lord God, do not change, so that you, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. If God was changing, He would have destroyed Israel. If God was changing, He would not have remembered the covenant with David, that you will never lack to have a man from your lineage that will sit on the throne. That even when Israel changed, He was like, okay, let's negotiate a bit. You guys have sinned, but because I remember my covenant with David, okay, 10 tribes can go, but 2 tribes must stay. That is why Judah and Benjamin stay. Why? Because He remembers His covenant with David. Look at how He tells Noah that each time that the rain shall come on the earth and the rainbow comes, I will remember my covenant with Noah and with all the wild animals, that never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. Think of how the morning comes. We sleep, and whether we like it or we don't, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest time, rain and sunshine, you know, morning and evening shall never end. There is no one who can, even whatever principle you want to put, you can never stop the morning from coming. And to God, it says there was evening and there was morning. That means that whatever you're going through now is just evening. It's in your past. That means that tomorrow is always better. Why? Because weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. So right now you are in your evening. Your morning is coming. With God, His character, His unchanging nature, His faithfulness is that His word is His bond. His word can be trusted. His word cannot fail. He says that God is watching His word to see that it is fulfilled. I don't know what God has been speaking to you, or what God has spoken to you, or what testimony of God that you read when you see the scriptures. You know, at times we think we'll hear a voice, but if you just read the scripture and it says none shall be barren in Zion, none shall lack her mate, none shall, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. That is God's word to you. And God is saying, this word that I have spoken to you cannot fail. It cannot fail. God is certain. It is for you to search out the scriptures. The Bible says, search out the book of the law and see none of his promises fail. He tells Israel, remember, think of how it was. Think of what I did with the children of Israel, that I was with them. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. They ate manna. They walked 40 years in the desert. None of them was sick. I covered them with a cloud. The cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at night. You can imagine how cold it is in the desert. And he says that I did it so that you can know that I am the Lord your God, and I change not. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, it says, it is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, I think it's NIV that puts it that, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. It is us that shift. Human beings shift. I mean, you can promise your child you'll buy a bike, but then at the end of the month, all your money goes into paying electricity bills and all these things. And you're like, ah, okay. Next time. But God is faithful and true. He can be trusted. He is trusted. To him, it is already done. There are things that God has spoken that it is done. The Lord is good and his mercies endureth forever. His faithfulness endures to all generations. There are things that you, as you're walking with God, as you're growing in God, there are covenants that God is establishing with you that your children benefit from it. Timothy was told, I see the faith that was in your grandmother Eunice and in your mother Lois, that now is that same faith that worketh in you. I see that it did not start with you. It started with a lineage. It started. That means that there are covenants that we benefit from what our parents did. There is no one that starts on his own. There are few years who God calls out to be the first in their homes, the first in their families. And if you're called out to be that, well, it's a blessing. You have a responsibility to establish a place of righteousness. You see, if you look at Genesis 18, I think verse 19, it says that the reason I chose Abraham is because he shall command, he shall instruct his children to go follow after my way in the way of righteousness. He shall instruct. The reason why of all the people God chose Abraham, because God saw that Abraham had a character in him that he is able to instruct his children and their children and his sons after him to follow after the way of the Lord. He saw a faithfulness character in Abraham that even when he went to war, he had 318 men brought up in his own home, and he divided himself among them. They were like him. They had the strength of him, and they were equal and able to defeat five kings. Can we consider the faithfulness of God? That even when we are faithless, he still remains faithful. It is us that need to come to him. It is us that need to think of his unchanging nature, to think of his consistent nature, to be sure that God's promises are true, that God's word cannot fail. And you see, when he says, I have favored you, my favor lasts a lifetime, that means you are God's favorite. And you remain to be God's favorite forever. In Christ, you are his son. In Christ, you stay connected. You stay aligned. And the Bible says, on that throne is seated one whose name is faithful and true. And that you can read from Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. The one who sits on the throne, the God that we serve, he is called faithful and true. I will stop there and let's reflect on that unchanging nature. He can be trusted. What he said he will do, he will do it. He will do it. He will do it. And he has already done it. To God, it's already done. It's us to just believe him and to access him. The currency that we use is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Welcome for reflections, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Doctor. Indeed, God knows, and this is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for that, because we often forget that. I was sharing with you that story of Ananias and Zephra yesterday. And when that happened, and the onlookers were now questioning, but we thought God had changed, you know? When Christ died for our sins, we thought he had changed. But I think it's the false belief that we often have. Until we realize that it us that move far away from God's promises because of the sins, the sinful nature, and the ungodly way we live. But God has never changed in our lives. He has never changed from, he has never turned up promises he made for us. So a good message to reflect on, and thank you for that, yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel. This has been a very reassuring message and very timely, personally, for me to remember at this time. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And if you're there and, I mean, you will listen to this and you, I mean, you've lost faithfulness in God, just know he's faithful. You can count on him. You can depend on him. He can be trusted. His word has been trusted, and his word does not fail. And let us pray. And you can put your faith in Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you for your word, that your word is true. And the one who sits on that throne is called Faithful and True. His name is Faithful and True. And even if we remain faithless, even if we fall away, you remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. And there are things that you have spoken to us, and your word speaks to us, and the vision of the word that you give us when we see the word tells us of your love for us that endures generations. And you have chosen us, you have favored us, you have loved us even before we knew ourselves, even while we were in our mother's womb, you knew us. And indeed, even as we continue to put our faith in Christ, as we look unto you, despite our situations that keep changing, we know that you never change. You have no variation, you have no variableness, and you do not change like shifting shadows. We put our hope in you and our trust in you. Thank you for healing, because to you, you say that by his stripes we were healed, and we are already healed, and we were healed, and healing was already purchased, oh God. And by your blood you have bought us, you have redeemed us, not with perishable things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And I thank you that we have an inheritance that is even beyond these earthly things, beyond this earthly tent, beyond these things that disturb us for now. But there is a place that we go to. There is a place in Christ that you have prepared for us. There are many mansions. And there's a place that we sit in you. And you've given us the license, the authority, the power to become children of God. And them that desire to know you, I pray that you give them that experience and that understanding, even as they submit to your will this time. I pray all this trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.